Tonight, we get ready for the hustle up the Hancock as Hannah Stanley checks in. Then later, we got a guy as Warren Price answers your auto questions. And finally, Adam Selzer and Nikki Allen swing by the Showcase studio. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Such a good mood tonight. Thank you for checking in with us. Sorry that the Blackhawks lost tonight. And that's not why I'm in a good mood, obviously. That's disappointing. But I'm in a good mood because I've been listening to the forecast for the weekend. And in combination with the fact that we in Chicago, and I'm so sorry, Indiana, we escaped the blizzard of 2016. So it's going to be in the 60s this weekend, Craig. The 60s.
I am so excited about that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's been a really great winter.
Up.
I know you're not supposed to say it. I know you're not. But I feel like we're close to out of the woods now.
We have clearly established on the show you're not allowed to comment on how glorious the weather has been.
I know. I learned that. I learned that lesson through you last year. But
just saying.
It really has been.
Now we're going to get smacked.
Oh, great.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be a volcano. All of a sudden it's going to be a volcano in the middle of Illinois.
A volcano of snow.
That'd be strange.
Sounds horrible. Yeah.
No, not snow. You'd be lucky. Rob Martier, Esmeralda. Hello.
Good evening.
Esmeralda's like, what? Already? You don't have to. No. It's okay.
She's in mid-chew.
I know. I wasn't going to mention that she's trying to. Look, we all have weird schedules when it comes to this late night shift. No, don't you worry about it, please. I was watching a little bit of the recap of tonight's GOP debate. I don't know. Now they're just yelling. It's Donald Trump in between Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. And they're just going after him. I would not have been surprised if they just gave him a backhand while they were on stage. This is getting crazy.
See, now what I would have done had I been either John Kasich or Ben Carson, other two up there on stage.
Not in the shot.
You wouldn't have known it.
No.
What I would have done is I would have brought out like a bag of popcorn and maybe a beer or something. And I would have brought out a folding chair.
Yeah.
And as those three were going at it, I would have set it up next to my podium.
Yes.
Sat down in the chair, got the popcorn and my beer out, and watched those three knuckleheads.
You may as well, because they're not following the rules as it is. They're interrupting each other.
It would have been hilarious.
It would have been very funny.
I also wonder if they're doing like prop bets between the two of them just to see what's going to happen on the night. Because they've both lost, so they should really have another way to have fun.
Well, and Cruz and Rubio are so far behind in the polling. Right now, I think the numbers are that Donald Trump, by 70%, will be the GOP nominee. That's pretty – it's getting in increasing every day. Yes, Rob?
No, I was just going to say there was a Fox poll out pre-debate tonight that had Trump beating Rubio in Florida, Cruz a slight advantage over Trump in Texas, but Trump was beating Kasich in Ohio.
Yeah, if they can't carry their own states, which we know is a problem for Gore, he was not able to win Tennessee. Or Arkansas. If you can't win your own state and your running mates at the time, I mean, you know, President Clinton was from Arkansas. And, you know, if you're not associating the candidate with one the state that they're from and the winning presidential, I don't understand what chance they have. They have none left if they can't win their own states. And in the polling as well, it looks as though if it's Trump and Hillary Clinton, they are very close to a very tight race, which has changed over the last few months because several months ago the numbers were different. But I think that a lot of people would come out to vote against Hillary as much as they would come out to vote for Trump. And I don't know if people will come out to vote against Trump. Does that make sense? That's it? Yes?
Yeah, no, I follow you.
Sometimes it does come down to voting against somebody instead of for somebody. Actually, I think a lot of our voting turns out that way. Doesn't it? I'm not voting for this person. I'm voting for the other person not to be in office. So it'll be it's very stressful. I understand that people are angry. I don't know. Should you be voting from anger and frustration? Should you be voting from a place of taking everything into account? I would hope that it would be a little bit of that. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break and let's see what Hannah Stanley has to say. Because my heart rate is up, and maybe that's good for the weekend. Maybe I need to have my heart rate sustained to do a certain, a little bit of a challenge that we have coming up on Sunday. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I've been trying to work out, and I haven't been as consistent as I was hoping because we are running up against a couple of major deadlines when it comes to fundraisers that some challenges that we are participating in. And the first one's coming up this Sunday. Hannah Stanley, what have I gotten myself into? What are we doing on Sunday?
I saw a note that Mark Harmon is doing this too. I don't know if that's accurate or if it was just erroneous.
Well, he said he was doing. I asked him last night if he was doing the Hustle Up the Hancock, and he said yes. And then I texted him today and asked if he was registered, and he said no. How do I do that? And I said,
see, because we have, it's great. We have this organizational memo that floats around WGN and tells us what we all are doing. So if we're going to be together at an event, we can look for each other or help promote that, like you and I are doing right now. And what we are talking about is Hustle Up the Hancock. So I saw the note come out. I sent Stephanie, who puts it together. I said, hey, Patty and I are doing Hustle on Sunday. So add that to the note. And then, and I noticed you got top billing, and that's fine. No, mine doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, no.
A little bit. And then Mark Harmon. And I was like, wait, how did that happen? I didn't know that. And well, I love it, Mark. Mark's great. So I was hoping he was.
It hasn't happened because I think he has to figure out some way. He asked me how to do that, and I was like, well, Hannah had to do it for me. So I don't know if she can do it for you, too. I would assume that they obviously have to keep track of their competitors or the, you know, participants in this Hustle
right.
in Hancock, right? So, yeah, it's not like you can just show up and just go in the stairwell because they sort of have a system.
There's a shirt that's involved, you know.
And a tracking system.
And a tracking system, and that's what's interesting to me because I feel like I need to be prepping for this long before Sunday, so maybe tonight. I need to figure out how to do this so I do it correctly.
What do you think needs to be done? Just you climb. You just left, right up the stairs.
Yeah, no, you're right, because that's what you'll be saying to me.
I do it to myself out loud. Left, right.
Yes, and this is why I'm excited to be there with you.
Patty's remembering which foot comes next.
I know. Like, I don't know. I'm holding up my hands to see which one is left.
Which one's left?
I'm doing the L thing. No, the tracking system. I think I have to tie it into my shoe somehow.
Yes.
I need to figure that out.
I believe that's how we did it as well. The Presidential Towers has a little one you kind of clip to your shirt, you know, along with your running number or your, you know, your participant number.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Sears Tower, we laced it into our shoes. You just take one side out and just lace it in there. And then there's an entrance strip that triggers the, you know, the magnetic, you know, tally of how much time when you start and when you finish.
Yeah. See, I was super athletic in high school and college and even before then. And then once I capped out in college, it was like, I'm done. I'm taking a few decades off. And then now I haven't done this since they've gotten really fancy with these tracking things. So this is all new to me. So I'm trying to read up as much as I can on the outside to keep up with you people who have been doing this for longer.
No. I don't, there's no speed factor for me. For me, it's just, believe me, it's just forward motion.
Are there any people there that maybe have done it a few times that you can tell are kind of ringers and you could trade trackers with them? Do you think there's someone that's up to that?
Go ahead, Hannah.
Well, a former sales guy for WGN who works at a different, he actually works for the Chicago Wolves now. His time is at like 20, I think his goal time is between 20 and 22 minutes. Because he's been training and I've been following him, and I was like, my goal is to finish, and my second goal is to not vomit anywhere.
Oh, that's a good one. I agree with you on that.
So if he's not willing to then trade with you, Hannah, you should do one of those bump into him by accident and then drop the things and scramble him up and then trick him and make him you. That's what we should do.
Yeah, I'm going to need to have scissors with me to cut these off.
And even more so than this person, children who do the climbs, by the way, they just trot up and they pass you and they're kind of laughing a little bit. And maybe they're not. Maybe I'm hearing it in my head from the lack of oxygen. But
yeah, whatever.
I would go ahead and clip. I would have a safety pin with me and just kind of maybe pin your strip to them as they pass you in
good.
The stairwell. I think you just.
All right. All of this is additional weight that I don't want to be carrying.
Patty, you made a brilliant point just now. Why does it matter how many strips one guy has? You should all just pin your strip on the fast guy at the beginning of the race.
This is
that's a really good idea.
Here's, Here's the thing, though. I don't care that I have a fast time. Really, really just want to finish because I've always wanted to do this.
Can I tell you a secret? It's not really a secret. Yeah. So I know my time from the Presidential Towers, which is four buildings, 45 floors each. I did that in 34 minutes. For the Sears Tower, I never even checked. Did not want to know. I have no idea what I finished that in. You know why? Because I got to the top.
That's right.
That's it. Just got to the top. Carm was there. Carm passed me quite early on and took off. And he was actually, he stopped and there were people who, this one was for the Illinois, it was like a rehabilitation institute for people who have like spinal injuries. And he was saying how life-changing it was for him to see people who had, you know, endured physical, you know, setbacks and were able to do this. So it was kind of cool.
Someone I've interviewed for many years is named Steve Faircow, and he is a double lung transplant recipient, and he does Hustle every year. And I will tell you, his team is called Carrie's Climbers, and Carrie is the name of his donor. And she was a high school volleyball player, and she had an aneurysm and passed away. And she had told her family twice in the weeks leading up to her untimely death that she wanted to be an organ donor. Mm-hmm. He got her lungs, and her volleyball teammates, now many years later, still climb with him every year. They drive in from Iowa and climb. And in a very bizarre story, he needed a kidney 2 years ago, and one of the other teammates donated a kidney to him. She was a match as well. So he has organs from two girls on the same volleyball team in small town Iowa, and they do this climb every single year.
Oh,
he has cystic fibrosis, and so that's why he needed double lungs. And I just find him so amazing. I love talking to him.
Yeah,
I'm going to look for him.
Yeah, we had a guest last year who had a lung transplant that completed the Fight for Air Climb as well. So it's always it's amazing what people bring to this event. I lost my father to small cell lung cancer, and it's kind of cool when you're in the stairwell and you see people who have someone in their family who's dealing with it. The issue I find when it comes to lung health is that people see lung cancer as sort of a blamable disease. They're kind of, you know, and you don't have to be a smoker to develop lung cancer. And there are a lot of other respiratory issues that people have that are, you know, separate from, you know, whether it's an addiction to smoking or, you know, work-related issues too. So this is important, and so many people are affected that we're looking forward to both. This weekend is the Respiratory Health Institute. Is that right?
Respiratory Health Association of Metropolitan Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And then the following weekend is, of course, American
Lung Association. Yeah.
Yeah. And you are supporting, you have this with your father and at the end of his life. And I had lung issues and continue to with both of my children. So this is something that, you know, Grayson has pneumonia rather frequently and, you know, is going to a pulmonologist and was born with lung issues. Both of my kids had lung issues when they were born.
I have a question for you, Hannah, because Declan also has chronic lung issues because he was born early, and I think you and I both kind of went through that. Do you ever use a nebulizer for
all the time?
Yeah,
all the time. We actually, my husband and I had a big conversation about traveling with it this past couple of weeks ago, and we didn't. We chose not to, and then in retrospect, we kind of wish we had. So I think in the future when we're going to be, especially like on the ship, they have, you know, the medical facility on a cruise ship, but you know, when you're at a resort, while you can, you know, rent a car and get to a pediatrician and blah, 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 it would have been just nicer to have it with us because we did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where we ended up with it early on when Declan had pneumonia, and he does about every year he gets pneumonia, which is so scary because with Declan, he can't tell us when something bothers him or it hurts.
Right.
And that's one of those things where he doesn't know how to clear his throat either. So anything that he kind of inhales ends up becoming an issue later on. But yeah, the nebulizer makes a big difference, if anyone's wondering. And we use albuterol, I think, is what the medication that we put in that little tube.
Yeah, it's a non-steroidal, and it opens up those airways, and it can make them feel a little kind of spacey, but it really does help. And what it is also
Declan gets it actually makes Declan really hyper. So he gets super hyper. He's like, we take the mask off of him, he like starts running. He almost like a pinball machine just bouncing off the walls. I always feel bad because, you know, he's not quite up to speed and you can't tell him that he's got to take it easy. But right. Yeah, he always looks so amped after that.
I know, they're like little pinballs.
Yes.
They, but it is interesting how much lung health affects so much of your world, even when you're not the one suffering from it, because you and I as moms have to deal with that, and it is very scary. There is a little girl who lives not far from me who had asthma, and they were aware that she had asthma, and she had an asthma attack in her sleep that caused cardiac arrest, and they lost her. So that's another that she will be in my mind as well as I go up 90 some ridiculous amounts of floors.
Yes. That's right. You have to remind yourself, why am I doing this again? Right.
Yes. This one's for asthma. This one's for COPD. This step is for lung cancer. This step is for everything.
Have you done any of, like, you've done a few of the runs before, like, where you, for, I don't run. I don't like to run unless, you know.
Neither did I until about 6 weeks ago.
And
yeah.
So do you carb up? Like, people tell me about carbing up, and that just sounds like, I don't know.
I don't have any idea. I really have not gotten that good at it yet. I have no idea what I'm doing yet. I think I was supposed to do my first 5K when I was on vacation, and then that got splashed by the wayside when they would not let us off the ship because of weather.
Run, people. You don't understand.
Yeah, I'm like, damn the weather. Forget the 45-mile-an-hour winds. I need to do this 5K. But I will be doing my first 5K in the next couple of weeks, and then I'll let you know how poorly I did based on the fact that I ate protein and not carbs or whatever.
I want a comparative, sort of a summary of what you did to you know, rev up for these. Well, Hannah,
yeah, I don't. What time are
we hustling up the Hancock? I probably should.
You know, I need to find out tomorrow.
Okay.
I actually will send an email tonight to secure our time. I know it starts at 7, which means you and I will be starting posting pictures 6:45-ish.
Oh, God.
But I don't know what time you and I actually will be stepping off.
Okay, because if it's at 9:30, I'll be posting pictures at 9:15. All right, Hannah, I'll see you.
Everybody set your alarms. We'll be posting.
Exactly. I will see you on Sunday. And all right, we'll be posting all of our pictures, all our before and afters.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hannah. Rev up and we'll rest and then carb and all the stuff that we're supposed to do.
Yeah, let's carb up after. We'll just go get pancakes.
That sounds good. Pancakes.
Okay, good. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye, Hannah Stanley. More after this on 720 WGN. I hope someone drives my car. It's weird to be carless. I have been carless for a little bit. Been taking Uber and Lyft most places when I can't borrow my family car or my mom's car. My 95 Honda Accord gave up the ghost, as determined by our very own car guy, Warren, who is the proprietor of European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway in Chicago. And you can call him at 773-248-1200 or visit their website, EuroUSAutoBody.com. And they even have a 24-hour number. What? To show how to, he doesn't use. You should be on.
Hey, listen,
stuff
I'm a rookie here, so getting set up here to talk
you've
is
been
very
here
difficult.
Like five times. What do you mean you can't move the microphone in front of your face?
Well, you know, when I saw you when I walked in and I saw how you were for someone who's going to be on the radio and for the way you're prepared to be in a studio, you're
we're live streaming. You never know.
I think Warren's trying to say that you are dressed very nicely tonight.
She's beautiful.
Patty Vasquez.
The girl's beautiful. There's no question about it.
He grabbed my hips and shook them.
No, that's your interpretation of a hug.
My interpretation of a hug. I'm pretty sure I know where my hip bones are.
I wonder
are.
If Warren's ever said that to like an officer or someone before.
Yeah. It's your interpretation.
That's her interpretation, Judge. Mm-hmm.
Well, for those of us out there who have questions about our cars, we're so grateful to have you in the studio. And I know that you're very good at answering questions when it comes to, you know, what's that noise? What could it be? I've been told this. A lot of people call with questions that their mechanics have told them something, and maybe you can help them and guide them in the right direction.
Well, I'm here for that, and I would love some great questions to be thrown at me so I can be tested.
There you go. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. If you have a car question, we got a car guy. That's Warren. And by the way, you were telling me that it's been kind of busy. You've been getting a lot of calls. What kind of questions are you getting?
Well, it's like getting to be the question is it's springtime. Now everyone's trying to focus on this great winter we just had. I feel sorry for the people in Indiana. They got kind of buried this last 24 hours. We've been very lucky in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Our winter has been absolutely fabulous. It hurt our business a little bit, but we're okay with that. I would rather not be digging myself out every day.
Yeah, well, and beyond that, you know, it means a lot of people weren't having collisions. They weren't slamming into either pedestrians or, you know, light fixtures. Sometimes you want to, there's so many things that people slide into, cement barriers.
Really, in the winter, our business slows down. It doesn't pick
really?
Up. Yes, it does.
Why is that?
Well, there's snowbirds that leave Chicago, then there's less population on the street, and then there's carpooling. So then there's public transportation, and okay. It's this computer age.
so many things.
A lot of people would stay home, so you lose population, and everybody in cold and inclement weather puts their hand at 11 and 2 o'clock on their steering wheel. And
they do not.
And they lean over real close, and they look at the nose of their car, and they freak out because it's so icky out.
Do you? I have actually. That brings up an interesting point because I have found that people who have all-wheel drive or have SUVs seem to think that they are impervious to.
They have an attitude.
Weather.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they drive like they have the Batmobile. Like
yes.
Somehow having a certain type of car means that like pillows will sort of erupt if they get into a rollover accident.
Well, it gives you a good feeling that you can cut through that snow with those four wheels.
But
you still have. And are susceptible to sliding and making impact upon another vehicle,
right.
Human, or whatever objects in your way.
Because if your wheels are not actually on pavement, and if they are on wet pavement or on ice, it doesn't matter what you're driving.
It doesn't matter what you're driving.
No.
Well, how many times you've seen someone fall on the ice?
Exactly.
Have you fallen on the ice?
Not this year.
Well, there's been none.
I know, that's why.
You know, when you do get through that pile of snow, though, in a four-wheel drive car like my Jeep, it feels amazing. When you just blow right through it, it does. There is kind of a fulfilling aspect to that, Patty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't do it a lot, and you shouldn't pretend that you have that on the highway, but when you, like, get in an alley and you can shoot through that, that's pretty amazing.
Well, when you see this car coming at you, and all of a sudden it puts its brakes on, and then you see it doing a 360 in a circle,
yeah.
You know, it makes impact with nothing. That's luck.
Right.
It doesn't happen too often. There's not that luck out there.
What does it mean when you get that triangle with the exclamation point in it, the exclamation mark in it?
On your dashboard?
Yeah, in the Odyssey it has that. It means that something dangerous, like you're not touching pavement right now.
Something's not on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. It's a terrifying moment. Hold on, especially if for pedestrians when they see that I have not got complete control of my vehicle. Hey, Pete, what did you want to ask our car guy about? Pete? Hi, Pete, with your Jetta.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a 2014 Jetta turbo diesel, and I've gone through three batteries so far, and, you know, I drive a real lot. I have 93,000 miles, and what's happening is when I try to start it, it cranks over real well, just doesn't turn over. And I could go maybe 6-8 times before it actually starts properly.
So you're saying it cranks?
I try pumping the gas. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. My mechanic hasn't figured it out. And, you know, I was wondering if anything that you can possibly tell me so I can talk to my mechanic to see if we could resolve this problem.
Well, first of all, you said you have a diesel, correct? Did you say you had a diesel, sir? Pete? Pete?
Hey, Pete, did you say you had diesel? Pete?
I think he said diesel, didn't he? Do we have an agreement?
Okay, diesel. That is, yeah, Pete, you're there. You're on the air with us, right?
Pete, you're on.
Anyway, said
it's a diesel. So here's the thing,
yeah,
Pete. Number one, with a diesel, you have what they call glow plugs. Glow plugs in the chamber, they're like spark plugs, but you don't need to pump gas into the system. It's a pressurized fuel injection system where you're glow plugs will ignite the fuel that's in there. If you put an overabundance of fuel into the combustion chamber, it will almost like put the flame out before it even starts. So maybe that's something you should back off on and not hit the gas pedal. Let the car itself just try and start. 93,000 miles on a 2014 car. You're driving.
Yeah, you are.
You are rocking.
Yeah, what
out
do you
there.
Do? What kind of commuting are you doing that you have 93,000 miles on a 2014? Pete, what?
I work for a company where I pick up medical specimens.
Oh, so I see.
So I go to a lot of different clinics and hospitals.
So you need this car for work. You need this to be functioning.
That is correct. You know, and the problem is I've gone through so many batteries.
Your continual cranking is ruining the batteries. You have some other issue. It's not the batteries that's creating it. It's something that's creating you to over-crank your car. I don't think it has anything to do with the batteries.
I've had it since I pretty much have had the car.
I think you have a problem with your injection system.
Yeah, he's gone through three batteries.
That's
too many.
That's beyond, yeah. You shouldn't go through three batteries in 3 years, but not 93,000.
Maybe you want to take it to Warren, and he'll give you an honest opinion. He's in.
Come on down.
Well, luckily, we're not going to be getting. The company that I work for probably has around 30 of these Volkswagens, and we're not going to get them because of the diesel. They thought they were saving money.
Diesel gasoline's more expensive than regular gasoline.
You know, Warren, he mentioned something that he's got kind of a regular mechanic who's tried to fix this a couple times. When is it okay to cheat on your normal mechanic?
Ooh, good question.
And go to someone like you if you might be able to fix a problem that he's taken a couple swings at and missed so far. He's not nothing. Warren's got no idea on that. I mean, I figure that if you give the guy two shots, if you feel like you're loyal to someone, you give him a second chance, it doesn't work out.
My honest opinion would be with that kind of car, it's 2014, latest technology is out there on this car, I would actually go to a dealer. I would pay up. First of all, the vehicle's used professionally. You need this to perform for you, and sometimes it's better to pay up and go and get it from the manufacturer and get some help there more than going to an independent and trying to save money because it's maybe not helping you.
Unfortunately, I'm limited to where I can go because I used to go to the Volkswagen dealership, but after so many miles, they tell us, because we have so many cars, that we have to go to a more independent dealership.
Is your car the only one in the pool that has this issue?
No. We've had other cars that have had problems with batteries, too.
Well, maybe you should change brands of car.
Well, we're in the process of getting Subarus, the all-wheel drive, and the Chevy Equinox. So
you're going to the Chevy Equinox is going to burn a little more gas than that Volkswagen.
That is correct. Well, our company is probably around 40,000 employees.
They should give you 10 batteries for that car to carry around with you just to use whenever you need it.
I actually got one of those portable battery starters.
Okay.
Just because I've had something.
That's a good thing to have.
Well, it sounds like this is it sounds like it's a foregone conclusion. If it's gone through three batteries, it doesn't sound like
it might just be in trouble.
Might just be in trouble.
We got a text from the 773. Why do people no longer switch between winter tires and all-weather tires when winter comes along, Warren?
Well, because the all-weather tires are built to sustain, the terrain a little bit better than just snow tires. They're a little wider. Their treads are better. They're thicker. They're stronger. And you don't need them.
Yeah.
You don't need snow tires.
Hey, are the roads, the potholes that we have in Chicago create a significant problem when it comes to tires, but it also does damage to the frame sometimes if you really take one on too hard, doesn't it?
It can do damage to the suspension, to the chassis. subframes underneath there, the car that hold control arms.
So, if, like, let's say you take a pothole and it just feels like it was significant. Should you take it to get checked out?
It wouldn't
immediately
hurt, just to be looked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because most
you should have it looked at.
Yeah. If you whack something, if you feel like that can't be good.
When we had our first snow this year, it was very wet and very heavy, and a lot of people sustained lower damage that they couldn't see until it dried up, until all the ice was gone. And then we have a number of claims that we're still repairing now, and for insurance companies, where the lower part of bumpers are damaged, suspension and cross members and subframes we've got cars coming in next week that are for those repairs.
You know, I was watching one day when I was in San Antonio, Craig, there was a parking lot, and I had asked for a lift car, and I saw like car after car coming into this lot. It was the entrance was on an incline.
Oh, they bottom out.
Oh, man. Like
bam.
Every car after car just smacking it. Yeah.
My next door neighbor's driveway has that issue, and they haven't fixed it in 2 years.
That's ridiculous.
And people pull into my property next door to me, and they bottom out into this hole, and they think it's my property, but it's not. It's my neighbor's.
And are there cars that are better that withstand, like our SUVs, because they're a little bit higher?
They're higher.
They're
yeah.
higher up.
Their wheel may hit the hole, but the car won't hit the bottom because they're much higher.
Yeah, it makes you really kind of like...
Want the four-wheel drive?
A four-wheel drive, a little bit of a... I had a CRV. I loved my CRV.
You know, if you're in the market, I got a 96 Jeep you could look into.
I wouldn't drive that. I know who fixed it.
Oh, dear. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are joined by Warren, our car guy. He is a proprietor of European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway Street. If you have anything, any sort of concerns, 24 hours a day, he's accessible at 773-844-0000. I know you like giving out your cell phone number, but that makes me nervous.
Well, if you need something, you got to call me.
Right.
If you're on the street and you've got an issue, call me.
Mm-hmm. I would call that CRV that I had. I loved it. Was a 2001 Honda CRV. The guy got whacked by a Porsche Cayenne. The guy fell asleep behind the wheel while on amphetamines and anti-anxiety medication.
How do you know?
How do I know?
Did he admit it?
Because no, in court, his doctor said that he prescribed two contradictory prescriptions. So that's convenient. To have a, I know.
You're convicted.
Well, no. He was, his ticket was failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident.
Did his insurance company pay for your repairs?
They did, and then, but then they fought us on injuries. So, because it was all soft tissue injuries, so they had a whole thing. But the proprietor of, Craig loves when I name it. It's,
I like all that.
Jeremy Renault, the proprietor. He's the son of the guy who owns La Creperie.
La Creperie, I remember that place. Yeah. Is it still there?
I have no idea.
It is.
Wasn't it on? We
can go take it out.
Yeah. Armitage, I thought.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, real quick, a text message from the 262. This is from
Craig's
Taylor.
Like, please stop talking about your court case.
No, it's from Taylor. He says, have you heard of this new anti-pothole feature on new cars? How does that work?
An anti-pothole feature?
Correct.
Is that something like tells you to avoid it?
I don't know if it's more like the automated, like the instant stopping and all that other stuff where the car can see.
Right now, with the computer age coming, there's cameras in cars, cameras in bumpers, cameras in mirrors. Cars park themselves. Who knows? They might have. I don't know anything. I've never heard of the... Yes, it's called asphalt. You fill the hole.
That is crazy.
There you go.
It's crazy talk, Warren. We have another question about a 2002 Honda Civic, but we probably should take a commercial break first, Patty.
All right, commercial break, then we have a question coming up after this. We're hanging out with our car guy, Warren, from European and U.S. Auto, U.S. Car Service. I always want to say auto. Why is that?
Because sometimes automobile cars are referred to as autos.
Because it's in your website, too. So it's European and U.S. Car Service, but your website is EuroUSAutoBody.com. See?
Well, that my brother must have done that.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. He makes things complicated for everybody.
Did you meet him already?
No. What was the question for Warren?
From a 2002 Honda Civic, this is from the 630, 122,000 miles after fuel injection cleaning, gas gauge seems to be stuck on F. Drove 60-plus miles. Is there a way to tell if my gas gauge is working or if I have an issue?
Well, gas gauge in cleaning your fuel injectors or injection system has nothing to do with the level of your gas in your tank. Inside your gas tank, you've got a fuel tank sending unit, which sends a signal to the dashboard and tells you how much fuel is in the car.
Okay.
So the cleaning has nothing to do with the meter reading, per se. So you'll have to go fishing somewhere else.
Got to get to the source of that. Warren, you're welcome to hang out. Thank you so much for the food from Cafe Baba Reba. Some really good. Yeah. You have to get one of the bacon, the dates covered in bacon.
Yeah,
it's good
Cafe
stuff.
Cafe Baba Reba. Yeah. Very good.
Very
excellent
good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little weird that you're dancing so jubilantly, Scott Santis, with a Blackhawks jersey. It's weird. Is it feel contradictory? Like, you just want to stay in a good mood even though we lost tonight?
I was at the game.
You were at the game?
I'm such a dork. I was actually following the debate at the game.
So did you have like an earbud in? Did you?
No, I wasn't listening. I was just watching.
The
New York Times and USA Today was posting.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that in a moment because I don't know if you already decided on a cartoon for that. But we will. That's Scott Santis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Also joining us in studio is Warren, the proprietor of European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway. The number is 773-248-1200. But we have a couple of texts and phone calls we still have to get to before we go to politics. Right now we have Robert on the line. What's your question for Warren, Robert?
Yeah, I have a 2014 Dodge Caravan, and both tires on the right side blew out simultaneously, and the dealer said it was because I put a spray into the tires. I never used that stuff.
Like that what spray? Like a nitrogen sort of? What's the spray that people are putting on their tires, Warren?
Fix a flat, I would think they would. Some tarry type a liquid that wraps on the interior of your wheel, tires as it spins to fill the holes. But if you never installed that, how many miles did you have? Did you buy the car new?
I don't have the car no more.
Did you buy the car new?
We bought it used. I won't even mention the dealership because
I don't care about the dealership. I just want to know if you bought it new or used, because if you bought it new, the odds are there was nothing in the wheels or the tires. But if you bought it used,
yeah, there's no accounting for what someone else did.
True.
Yeah.
There's a great possibility that that did occur. So,
I think, Robert, is it more the question is if had you used that spray, would that account for some sort of damage? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I mean, I've never used it.
As far as I'm concerned, the liquid would not create a blowout at all. You would have had to have hit something for them to blow out, or you would have had to have way too much air in the tires and hit a small bump, and then they blow up.
Well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I mean, it was very weird that both had simultaneously blew out.
Was it bang-bang, or was it bang together?
It was like one loud bang, and both tires were gone.
Ooh. It sounds like it hit something.
It sounds like you hit something, yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Robert. Good luck with that, and thank you for your question. Do we have any texts before we go to politics?
You know, we had some, and then I closed it, so can we go to politics?
Well, Scott Santis was at the Blackhawks game and trying to track the GOP debate tonight. Where was it held tonight?
The game was at the United
Center. Yeah, that I understand. Otherwise, it's quite the commute you made from Nashville.
I have no idea.
I was wondering, was it in Texas? Like, none of us seemed to know. The,
it could be Tennessee.
The GOP could have been in...
Could have been Texas.
Well, weren't we playing Nashville in Chicago?
We were playing
Yes,
we did. We were playing the Predators.
The debate. I'm talking about the debate.
The debate was in Houston, Texas this evening. The Blackhawks played a hockey game
in Chicago against
Chicago
Nashville.
United Center,
against Nashville, not in Nashville.
Now it's all coming together.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And no one debated at the Black
this
Hawk
almost
game.
Sounds like the
there
debate.
Sounds like there's a debate going on here.
Because they were all talking over each other. But it was Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio flanking Donald Trump. And Rubio looked better than I've ever seen.
That's not what I heard.
He's not my candidate, but he seemed to be a little
was
bit more
Donald's
on
hair
fire.
Flying?
he was just doing this a lot. You know what I was thinking as I was watching without any audio? Was if there were a woman on stage, like, making the kind of faces that Donald Trump does, all anybody would say was how ugly she was and how unattractive and what a dog she was. But somehow Donald Trump, with his pouting, grumpy, yelling...
Donald Trump is a petulant child.
Yes. And who's going to be the president of the United States.
He's going to be...
Sorry, Craig.
Oh, God.
Did you hear him yell? I texted Craig that yesterday, and he refuses to hear me because...
Scott.
Who's called this all along?
She has.
She has, and I defer to the higher power on this one. You called this...
He's going
the
to be...
He will be the nominee.
He will be the next president of the United States, barring...
He beats Hillary?
I think he beats Hillary.
Wow.
Because of... Okay. Scott, you are in the camp of people that really dislike Hillary Clinton. I mean, to the point where you actually have a cartoon strip that mocks her kind of character, right? Repeatedly.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the reason why she's going. Not you are the reason that she's going to lose, but the vitriol, the hatred, the sort of emotional response that she generates is exactly the same as a kind of Trump response, like the hatred for other politicians.
Well, how do you explain someone like me who hates them both?
I don't know.
You need a job, first of all, to make the cartoons.
Okay. Well, then you've asked your own question. Trump and Hillary, who do you vote for?
Libertarian. I'm not kidding.
Well, then that's why Hillary Clinton loses. Because then everybody else is going to vote for Trump.
The alternative goes to the third party.
It's not. It's the third party, the Libertarian. This is like Ralph Nader in 2000
but
with Gore.
But Nader votes would siphon off Democratic voters.
Which is why Gore lost in 2000.
Siphons off Republican votes.
But any third party is going to siphon off votes that would otherwise go to Hillary Clinton. This is my question to anybody.
I don't think they automatically go to Hillary. I think they automatically go.
I'm saying they don't go to automatically to Hillary. The Republican voters who don't like Trump are going to vote Libertarian, right? But the Democrats aren't going to show up because they're not passionate enough about Hillary.
So especially young voters.
Exactly, because they're passionate about Bernie.
Then we have to get Bernie Sanders in there. Is that what we're saying? It's got to be Bernie that's going to beat Donald Trump.
I don't know. There you go. Bernie or Trump. Ooh.
Oh, who do I vote for?
Yeah.
Libertarian. I like, you know, I've mentioned this on the show before. I've mentioned it 100 times. I like Bernie Sanders because he believes what he believes. He's never varied from it. And you can trust him to believe what he believes. And so you can vote for that.
Mm-hmm. But you severely dislike Hillary Clinton.
I do. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do many people.
Yeah.
And enough so that if...
You really think enough that a Donald Trump could win the presidency?
Yes, absolutely. I really believe that. As much as I believed last summer when I said that he would make it through the first debate, as much so as I said he would rise in the polling. Well, here's the thing. If she was a Democrats candidate, it wouldn't have been so hard for... She would have done much better against Obama, right? If people were passionate about her, it wouldn't take
for her, but here's what I see going forward in the fall election is people making that choice and looking at who do you want in the Oval Office? Who do you want near the button? Do you really want an airstrike against, the Daily Mail or against
Scott,
a newspaper?
People don't care. The people who say they want Trump say they don't care. They say burn it down. Yeah. We don't care. It's only 4 years. They're saying that.
I was talking to a political operative, and it was a great analysis, frankly. And he said that this election in 2008, it was hope. It was, this election, it's anger.
It's rage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's emotional. It's not rational. So the other candidates running against Trump are saying... And frankly, the Republican bench was very deep. You and I disagree on politics, but interesting people with interesting ideas. And all the air got sucked out of the room because this petulant, blow-dried, whatever the hell he is, took over. And the mainstream media, frankly, has played into it. A number of newspapers, a number of organizations have studied this in that he has this mega... campaign organization, and it's only because the mainstream media covers him.
But the mainstream media is a liberal media, Scott.
No,
it couldn't possibly be the liberal media
It's not liberal media. It's media that wants attention. And so they're almost 8-1 over any other candidate. Mm-hmm. Trump gets coverage.
So going forward, can the media be accused of being the liberal media that sort of dictates what's going to happen politically?
I think there's a liberal bent because study after study has shown it's gone down since I've been in the business. Now it's down to 7% consider themselves either Republican or conservative. So you've got a 93% of the media of journalists who consider themselves either Democrat or liberal. So and it's hard.
And that's the way they answer? Because
I think it's hard. I think you have a filter, but I don't think that they do the best job they can. A lot of them are great.
No, but you said identify themselves as. So 93% of the media identify themselves.
According to the Pew Institute, yes.
Pew.
Sounds like a gun. Well, I'm curious, too. You said that, what was it, 4 times more often Trump is covered than any other candidate?
Eight times.
Does it matter what kind of coverage that is? I know we always
say that
publicity. Yeah,
Is it coverage because they think he's going to do something like wild?
Right, yes, of course.
A lot of it's been negative.
It's interesting.
Does this count as coverage?
Yeah.
I guess
this
counts as coverage. Of course it does.
We're talking about him. You know, and we're talking about this debate, and Rubio went, you know, jumped in his face, was the candidate that jumped into Trump's face and called him a liar, called him a petulant, you know, a bunch of other names, and it was, will it change anything? It will not.
Why did our listener who had a Trumpinion hang up, Mike, what did Mike want to say?
Yeah, I don't know. He said that he is going to vote for Trump, and he believes in Donald Trump, but he does not think that he will actually win the general election. He thinks he will be the nominee, he just won't win.
Oh, yeah, I think he's going to win.
Yeah.
Really? What makes you think that?
I think I already asked and answered. The voters, like yourself, and I didn't vote for Hillary's not my candidate either, right? So voters, one, who dislike her severely are on one side, and people who just kind of like, I guess she's the candidate, aren't going to, they're just not motivated by
it. So aren't subtle.
Yeah.
The Illinois primary, which actually may mean something this year, is coming up in what, 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Who do you vote for? May I ask? Can you say?
Oh yeah, I don't. You mean the Democratic primary?
If you're a Democrat,
I have to vote in the primary. I don't even know. I haven't decided yet. Actually, to be honest with you, I have not decided because of this very reason. I don't know who, and I can't vote for Rubio. I cannot vote for Kasich. I can't vote for Cruz. I can't vote for Trump. So I don't know who else is left. I can't vote for Ben Carson. Those are all off the table for me. So I don't know.
Ben Carson looked almost lifelike tonight.
Write someone in, yeah. But I mean, more after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Our friend Warren from European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway in Chicago is hanging out with us, brought us some great food from Cafe Baba Reba. And we also have Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, who has brought some lovely tasty scotch
yes,
tonight.
It's good very for nice. You, too. It's easy, which means it has fiber.
It has fibers. I feel like I'm sort of meeting a nutritional goal today by having my scotch.
Well, and then Nikki Allen is coming in a little bit, and she's already boozed us up, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what delightfulness this is.
But this is lovely.
Yes. And it's a surprise. Amazing. After 12:30, we will talk to her and Adam Selzer about a historic event that is taking place in the very near future. It's in March. And there will be cocktails and a movie that has not been seen for a very long time. It was filled right here in Chicago.
Really?
So, yes, I think it's very exciting, and I'm going to tease you a little bit about that. Joe is calling. He has an idea for you, Mr. Stantis.
Oh, cool.
Joe,
thank you.
What's your idea?
Hey, Joe.
Here's why Patty is correct, Scott. And listen, I'm an avid follower of your cartoons, and I absolutely love 85 to 90% of them.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Hey, I believe it's the best form of
hold on one second, Joe. Craig, earlier this week, did we have somebody who said they liked 85% of what we... What is happening where... Is it because of all
the... very specific estimates,
is it because of the polling? Because it's an election year?
Yes.
Everyone's got, like, numbers in their head? All right, Pumpkin, what do you want to tell Scott?
You got it. Hey, it's a big triangle. And at the top is our current president, and you have a picture of Nero fiddling while Rome burns, while in the background you have a big ostrich ready to put his head in the sand. I think that's self-explanatory.
Which one's the ostrich?
Both of them apply. Okay, lower left, you got Bernie Sanders. You got Karl Marx throwing free gifts to the people on Mardi Gras streets. Everything's free. Then on the opposite side of him, you got a female Pinocchio with an extremely long nose. Okay.
Well, that might get Bill kind of excited.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're right. I didn't even think of that aspect.
I believe he was giving the cigars, not receiving them.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
That's true, but it could be taken either way.
I am not going to judge.
Okay.
Anybody.
Then the other part of the triangle on the right side, which is why Patty's right, is the cotton-picking bull in the china shop with a big blonde hair windblown wig. And I think that's going to carry the day. Pinocchio, Karl Marx, head in sand, Nero fiddling while Rome is burning.
I do like a bull with a big hair, with a full Trump hair thing going.
I think you already used a bull in one of your cartoons.
Oh,
in the last
that doesn't stop me from doing it again.
And by the way, Scott, you don't want another percentage of cartoons my mom likes that you do.
Well, it could be my wife's, which is, I think, somewhere in 50%.
Ah,
well, we disagree on stuff.
Yeah,
she actually took a test recently, and her candidate was Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you a little bit.
We should find that website. That's a good idea. People, we should find the website for how to match
Joe,
up.
Thanks, by the way.
Hey, Joe, which do you want to tell us who you are backing, who you're passionate about in this election?
I'll tell you, I wish I could change a lot of traits, like his boorishness and his infantile approach on occasion. But nevertheless, I think what's going to hold sway is Trump's straightforward bull in China shop, let's kick all the bums out message, period.
What bums are we talking about?
People that are in Washington right now.
Oh, I see. I see. So the lifelong politicians.
You got
it. This is going in the trend that we've had a lot of calls this week about career politicians not doing anything else. All right. Thank you, Joe. That's good to know.
Joe, thanks a lot, man. Take care.
That's come up a lot, Scott, where people are saying that they want to get rid of the career politicians.
You and I were talking, and it's the theme of the 2016 election is anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just anger. I mean, here in Illinois, you're talking about, it's finally come down to this. Mm-hmm. And I figured it would, but I didn't know they could drag it out this long. The budget impasse, which has hurt people that you care about, people mm-hmm. I care about, people who society should care about, are getting really devastated by this deadlock. They want to bring it to the November election. It's going to be, who do you like better, Rauner or Madigan? And that's how they're going to frame this election. I guarantee it.
Well, I think that on the national level, a lot of people are taking the sort of path that many people voted for Rauner. They're like, well, it's got to be better than what we have. And as it turns out, it's not.
Definitely not.
No, I'm sorry. Another term of Pat Quinn would have been.
Would have been what? Okay, so the hole that we dug as far as the pension mm-hmm. pensions go was something that was created, and so people have talked about, you know, whether it was if it was Blagojevich's fault or if it was going back to the 70s, the 80s. It goes all the way back. Underfunding the pensions goes back almost to the very beginning of our pension plans, but including the 1950s, and it does include Republicans and Democrats. But the biggest chunk of it was under Blagojevich, who is now in prison. He wanted to expand Medicaid for all kids. So in 2006 and in 2007, they shorted the pension payment by over $1 billion. So that's where $2 billion starts to compound, right? Only now, so it was up to $4 billion last year. That was the problem. It wasn't that we were unable, you know, we shorted it. It isn't what they are receiving or what we are obligated, because they pay 12% of their earnings, whether it's a firefighter or if it's a police officer. The rest of us pay 6% to Social Security, so that when we retire, that money is there, that we pay into that, right? We get it back.
Right.
But they pay at a much higher rate. They don't get Social Security. We have promised them their pensions.
Right.
So, yes.
But we kept making promises to them that and the pensions are outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
It was a payoff to AFSCME and other union state, you know, government unions, and it just got unsustainable. And it was under the auspices of Mike Madigan, who's been Speaker of the House for almost 40 years now.
Right. I agree. He made the agreement with Blagojevich to short the pensions by over $1 billion
whatever
2 years
ago. Kick the can down the road. Who gives a crap? It's the kids will pay for it. I'm going to be dead. But apparently he's never going to die. So
he doesn't
have
any children anymore.
Well, he has Mike. He has.
Well, now
Lisa?
The can. Well, now
she's not a child.
Rauner is just taking the can away and gone. You got nothing.
Right.
So the $4 billion that we had last year that had taken about 8 years to accumulate, now it's been another $2 billion because of all the money that's going out the door by consent decrees, because all these organizations have to sue in order to pay for services. So
not to mention interest on payments that the state's in arrears of and owes interest on, which is into the billions as well.
We'll figure this out.
But let me
take a break. You get a pen and pencil and let's do some math. Thank you for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I know, do I have like the voice that goes with that music?
You do, and everybody was grooving in studio. That was a nice little moment.
We love the music you're playing tonight.
Thank you.
We have so many friends in the studio right now. It's like it feels like every night we're starting to have like a party. I feel like the Johnny Carson show where like the first person on the show is on the couch, and then they hang out and we have the next person on the couch. I don't mean to allude
to anything. No, and what's even better is our guests bring drinks. Progressive. aggressively.
I know.
So.
Food and drinks.
Yeah.
Everybody has brought something tonight. This is going to be a requirement nice. From now on.
You actually started this with that FM DJ vibe going.
I think so. A little bit.
It's like not here in Chicago.
My favorite thing was Rick Perlstein told me that I was like Howard, like a smart Howard Stern. Like it's always a party vibe in the studio. Warren from European and U.S. Car Service at 4080 North Broadway brought some wonderful food from Cafe Baba Reba. Did you try the
I'm going to get a date at the next commercial. A special date.
So good. Okay. You got to grab some food in there. It's all very good. We have Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, has brought us some lovely scotch, as inspired by the TV show Parks and Recreation.
Yes, Ron Swanson.
Is your hero, you
he
were
is.
Saying?
He is.
So, and this is a fiber-filled scotch. Which scotch is it?
It is. Well, now I have to, hold on one second.
That's all right.
Just got a wheel over here.
You have to go over and check out the bottle.
Nick Offerman is an amazing human being.
I love him. He was great in Fargo, by the way.
He was amazing in Fargo.
So good.
Is he in Fargo?
Season two.
Oh, uh-huh. It's such a good season.
He plays a lawyer.
This is
what's the name?
Lagavulin.
Lagavulin.
16 year.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
it's spectacular.
And so is Petey. Would you like some?
I'd enjoy some of that.
All right, then. Look at that vibe going on. That's Adam Selzer, who has an incredible event to tell us about, in addition to our bartender extraordinaire, Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine, who joins us as well. And she's wearing the Harry Carey glasses from the green room, which is a little bit distracting.
I think they suit her, actually.
I forgot my thick rim glasses at home.
Do you wear contacts or do you not?
I am wearing contacts today.
Well, there you go.
She cleaned her lenses.
You say that in a way that sounds a little bit tawdry. I don't know why.
Wiper blades.
I don't even know why. So, Adam, tell us a little bit about the event you have coming up in March.
All right. So, folks, a lot of people don't realize that Chicago was the place to go to make movies 100 years ago.
Right.
For a very brief period, 5 or 6 years. The biggest studio we had at the time was one called SNA Studios. In 1916, 100 years ago, they made the first Sherlock Holmes movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like most SNA movies, it was lost for a really long time. Like 1% of SNA movies are still extant today. But somebody found a copy of Sherlock Holmes a couple of years ago. It was locked away in a vault in France.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaming up with Atlas Obscura. We're going to be doing a screening of that Sherlock Holmes in the old SNA studios,
which
is still more or less intact. You can still see all of the walls. You can see like pipes on the wall that you can see in some of the old silent films and everything. They've restored it a little bit. There's a painting of Charlie Chaplin up on the wall because Charlie Chaplin made one movie there himself. It's going to be a fantastic event. It's going to be an immersive party experience. We've got a live piano player and cellist who are going to play a score along with the movie.
Right, because at the time they would have had a piano.
Yeah, it just would have been a piano player set up there.
Cool.
Traditionally an out-of-tune piano, but we're going to go for it. We're going to break a little bit from tradition and have a piano that sounds decent.
Were some of the theaters also organs? When do they use
Sometimes
organs?
Sometimes they'd use
the
organs,
20s?
Too. It depends on how big of a theater you had and what it was wired for, really.
Cool.
But also, we are going to, since we're doing a Sherlock Holmes thing, we're encouraging everybody to show up in Sherlock Holmes costumes, dress in your steampunk best, glue some gears onto your hat, whatever. And we're going to be showing, and we're bringing in Knife and Tine and Nikki to make us some Sherlock themed cocktails. There's going to be a cash bar set up for those. Nikki, I will let you tell us about the cocktail.
Yes, we are all enchanted by this cocktail.
Yes, yes, yes. So this is sneak peek of one of the three featured cocktails for the night. This one is a three pipe problem. So what you're drinking right now is
Sherlock
to yes, exactly.
A little bit of a...
So there's cocaine in this?
Yeah.
That would be a spike problem.
Yeah, there's a
great
punch bowl.
Now we're all going to get busted.
Spike punch bowl. Mm-hmm. So this cocktail is neat if for you listeners.
Mm.
It is a whiskey infused with ginger,
some
Angostura bitters, and then a little bit of honey. There's that sweetness. And then on top, I did a little spritz of Lafroy. Go with that little...
What's Lafroy?
I don't know what
she
said.
One of the most popular peaty scotches.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's really wonderful.
So that's what the smokiness comes in.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Take a bite of the ginger and sip it as
oh
well,
my
too.
Gosh,
so
yeah.
good.
This is like...
Mm-hmm.
Right, she put a little ginger on the
I candied the ginger a little bit ago. So earlier today.
So good.
And what are some of the other drinks that we'll be having?
We will have a really fun red... colored vodka cocktail, and then a orange gin French 75, if you will. So
okay, these are going to be called a Study in Scarlet and the Five Orange Pips.
Mm-hmm.
All Sherlock-themed cocktails. It's going to be really a cool event. If you go to MysteriousChicago.com or AtlasObscura.com, you can get all the ticket information. You've got about 11 and a half hours left to get the early bird pricing right now.
Okay, go to which website?
MysteriousChicago.com.
Okay, so and now the movie that they discovered in France, mm-hmm. which book is it? Is it on one of them?
It's kind of a compilation of different Sherlock things. There was a Sherlock Holmes stage play that mm-hmm. he toured around in the early 20th century starring William Gillette. This is the film version that he made of it.
Okay.
And a lot of the ways that we think about Sherlock Holmes now, the way we think of him as a character, came more from his stage play in this movie than really from the actual short stories.
Okay. So, wonderful.
When is this again?
1916.
No, when is
when is the event?
In 1916. That's
awesome.
That's why I got the Doctor Who coat on.
It
is on March 12th, Saturday, March 12th. It's going to be at the old SNA Studios, which is now part of St. Augustine College at the 1300 block of West Argyle up in Uptown here in Chicago. That afternoon, I will be at the Uptown Library talking about the silent film scene in Chicago.
Awesome. Yes, Craig?
Did a private investigator and a doctor locate this film somehow? Was there some sort of story about
two people?
I'm
hoping there was a dog involved.
Me
and
too.
Some Scooby snacks and a flashlight.
That would be amazing.
So, isn't that library right by the post office?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. This sounds great. And this cocktail is amazing.
It's very fun.
Thank
yes.
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Very cool. And when was the last time this movie, was it only at that time in 1916 that it had a release?
Yeah, no, it was only released in 1916. It was never on home video.
So it hasn't been seen.
It's been available the last several months. People have been able to get a hold of it if they want to get a hold of it. So mm-hmm. it's been out there. It's not.
Have they transferred it? I mean, they had to have transferred it to
they've transferred it onto digital now.
Okay.
They had to do a little bit of upgrades to it because the version they found, all the intertitles were in French.
Well, that's
and they had to do a bit of research to figure out what it was actually supposed to be.
Well, that
it
would
wasn't
be
necessarily
it
a literal translation.
It would be. Is there an original script available somewhere?
There's original scripts of the stage play, but it's not necessarily quite the same as what they were going to do in the silent film.
It
took a lot of work. Yeah. Intertitles.
Wait, hold on a second. Subtitles for a silent film.
Yeah.
It's already subtitles for the titles that were there.
Yeah, I was going to say we'll play a little clip of the film right now.
We are? What? Oh, there it is.
Oh,
wait, everyone,
film,
here we go.
Clip on radio.
Yeah, could you run that clip?
Should I be describing what's happening? Sherlock is figuring out stuff.
And what about the actors that were in this movie? Did they go on to other silent film stardom?
No, William Gillette was the main guy in it, and this is the only surviving example of his work. He was a very famous actor 100 years ago. But this is the thing, you know, before films were really more common, you know, a famous actor would die and their entire body of work would die with them. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to William Gillette until they found this movie a couple of years ago. And now we've got a great surviving example of his work all over again.
John Wilkes Booth. We don't have any of his work.
Well, no.
No.
Well, there is. We have evidence of his work. It just happens to be in a tomb in Springfield.
Very interesting with John Wilkes Booth. We got a lot of reviews of his acting in Chicago. The Tribune thought he was nuts but a genius.
Oh, that sounds like this year's election.
Yeah.
Well, sans the genius part.
Well, he's a media genius, is what. By the way, you had to suspend your campaign.
Yeah, I'm kind of
well.
Wishing I hadn't done that. Now, I should have stuck around.
I think so. But somebody should stick around.
Somebody should. Geez.
Yeah, it's become kind of bizarre. The whole there are people who live in the Trump building that actually they all coordinated. Did you see this? Where they coordinated their lights to say no Trump.
Yes.
Why did you buy a condo?
I suspect that picture is not exactly real. It's not exactly real, but
do you think that they didn't do that?
I don't think they really did that.
Oh man,
I mean, it'd be so easy to fake. It's way easier
stop
to fake a
yucking
picture like
Scott's
that than
yum. Will you do something else with his yum during the break?
Anytime we get a rip on Trump, let's do it.
Do something with his yum while during the break.
We'll do.
More. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. There was a ghost. I kept hitting my button on and it hit itself off. I'm just saying there were some are we having electrical glitches
tonight?
Yeah,
the ghost is also attacking our audio vault a little bit. I don't know what's going on.
All right, then. Well,
what were we listening to? That was awesome.
Yeah, what was that, Craig?
That was an orchestra playing This Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Oh, all right. Is that supposed to allude to something?
I don't know. I thought it was classical.
Am I dealing with something?
It's the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Right.
So
that's exactly who it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
look at this.
Look at our history.
That was impressive.
Aficionado, I would say. By the way, have you seen Hail Caesar?
I have not seen Hail Caesar.
I think you would find it interesting. I think you would enjoy it. It did not do well. I believe it's the Coen brothers' biggest failure as far as any of their films go. Yep. No one has, in the studio. 312-981-7200. Let us know if you've seen Hail Caesar. You can call or text us. I want to know if you've seen it, and I want to know what you thought.
They have always traditionally had lousy opening weeks.
Is that
always,
true?
Every movie of theirs. They just don't have that kind of draw, but people fall in love with their films over time.
I know, but this one kind of. I think it's intrinsic, I think, consumption of it. Like intrinsic value, you know, what you take from it. If you have no background in cinematic history, and I mean that in the sense, like, if you haven't seen movies that from the 30s and 40s, because I don't think a lot of young people are watching classic movies. We know lots of people who've never even seen It's a Wonderful Life or even It's a Wizard of Oz.
Favorite
I know.
Movie.
Which one?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm. Oh. His Girl Friday is some of the most crackling dialogue ever.
But see, we grew up with parents. Nikki, have you ever seen? No, exactly. Right, because we grew up. Because there's so many different choices when it comes to cable television. So if you want to see something on AMC or TNT or TV, whatever channel's showing some of these classic movies, we grew up watching them. So we're like, oh, I love this movie. Or I've never seen this one with John Wayne or Jimmy Cagney or Edward G. Robinson or Loretta Young or Rosalind Russell. Like, we were like, oh, I love her. I've never seen this one.
For all the ones that millennials haven't seen, though, Nikki Allen, of course, has seen the classic Dude, Where's My Car?
No, she's awesome.
Okay.
I've never seen Dewar's My Car.
I was kidding.
I know where
it's an
it is.
Awful movie.
Do you know where it is? It's probably Warren's shop.
Yeah, it's a Warren's shop.
He's fixing it.
But we had growing up in Chicago, and I'm not sure about where you grew up in Alabama
or California,
Wisconsin, right? California. So in Chicago, we had Channel 9, and on Sunday afternoon, you had family movie classics.
Totally.
Right. So every Sunday, and there was an introduction to it, so you would see movies like all the Lassie movies were always on Sundays.
You know what was on in the morning?
What was that on the morning?
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. Hold on a second. Wait, hold on. Let me do this.
Hardy, hi-ho, Silver.
Right? This is, again, another show that so many people. I think we should just talk over a little bit of that music. Can we? Do I have to turn it off? Craig's like, do we have to hear it? Yes, exactly. And even when I was a kid, after school, repeats of TV shows like Batman, with the classic.
Adam West.
Yeah.
Repeats?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Someone's old.
The Brady Bunch was always playing. Like, I would imagine that Nikki's never seen an episode of The Brady Bunch.
I watched that before. You've
watched that. And MeTV is coming around, I think, sharing a lot of the TV shows.
My son loves Golden Girls.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
He's got a grandma thing, right?
Well, let's not go there.
But the themes of Hail Caesar are so deeply embedded in what happened historically during that time. I mean, there's a anyway. I just want to have any texters let us know if they've seen. No one has seen Hail Caesar. 312-981.
What is the plot of Hail Caesar? I'm not even familiar with it.
It's about this movie studio, and there's an enforcer at the studio has kind of make sure that everything is going smoothly, and that's played by Josh Brolin, right? So the various things that happen to it's really just a 24-hour time period, and all the sort of drama that unfolds during that day with various stars. Okay. One of them is played by Scarlett Johansson, who kind of plays she's Esther Williams and Loretta Young, kind of in the same character. She looks like a screen goddess, but off screen she's like this sort of foul mouthed, tough talking slut. Which is fine. I mean, that's cool. But she's pregnant, but she's not sure who the father is, and they have to deal with that because it's going to be a controversy as to whether...
It's all 24 hours, right?
It's all 24 hours. But the main character, well, not main character, I think the main plot line kind of revolves around George Clooney's character, who is kidnapped by a couple of movie extras, and he is he's kidnapped by a group of writers who are all socialists. And there's a communist thread to it. There's a lot of things that were going on in the 50s, with the blacklisting, with what some writers were accused of trying to sort of impose on their scripts and storytelling. They were suspected of having socialist tendencies. So there's a little of that kind of stuff.
Oh, look, I got to see that one. Yeah.
I highly recommend it. But
I keep thinking it's another Julius Caesar thing. There's never been a good film version of Julius Caesar.
It's based on that. Actually, the title comes from George Clooney is playing Caesar, and it's a religious film. It's a religious epic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? No?
No.
What?
I guess thinking of did you see Me and Orson Welles, where they recreate Orson Welles' Julius Caesar from that time period?
No.
It's terrific.
Well, it's
terrific.
It's more of the making of a couple of movies, The Ten Commandments and The Greatest Story Ever Told.
Right. Well, it's a religious film. Yeah.
It's a religious film. It's actually with the time of Jesus, though. So it's actually Jesus on the cross, and George Clooney ends up, because he feels like he understands more about humanity and the plight of man and how we're all in this together, has a speech in front of the cross. And it reminded me a little bit of John Wayne having to play one of the guards, Pontius Pilate's guards at the cross, and he goes, "This truly was the Son of God." They didn't really say it that way, but God. It was John Wayne's, and he didn't really sound like that. It was very awkward. God. It's weird.
Genghis Khan. Have you seen that one?
That's so bad.
Oh, my God.
How about Ever G. Robinson? Was he Pontius Pilate?
He was too small.
No, he was in Moses's.
Yeah, he was in Ten Commandments, right?
Ah, Golden Temple, Golden Calf,
you dirty rat.
So clearly, the movie benefits if you...
You have no idea what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Channing Tatum's in it in very tight pants. No? Okay.
Yes, my gay friend saw the trailer and went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give my joke another try, but you've, of course, seen High School Musical 2, right? Nikki?
No, stop it.
We're going to find your classic movie.
I saw it.
I saw it. High School Musical.
I saw it twice.
That's Zac Efron.
You have daughters.
I have twins, yeah.
That's why.
Hi, Lily. Hi, Claire.
Esmeralda, have you ever seen Dude, Where's My Car?
No.
No. Have you seen High School Musical 1 or 2?
No.
Okay.
Can I also point out, Craig, I think you are a millennial as well, aren't you?
I am a millennial. Yeah. Okay. That's the, I'm, yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
I'm okay with that.
Thank you, Esmeralda, for sticking up for me.
I've seen all the movies I'm talking about.
We decided last night that we are going to have Sergeant Paraka from the Marines every month watch a military-themed movie and let us know what he thinks about it. He's never seen A Few Good Men. And I know. I was thinking this as a Marine. I wondered.
You want the truth?
He can't handle the film.
So I was curious what he would think about that movie, because there is sort of that, what does it mean to be standing on that wall?
Yeah,
you know, you need me on that wall. But we also decided that he hasn't seen a lot of movies. I think that there is something about movie going that has changed a lot for millennials, whether it's being able to live stream, you know, watching things on Netflix. There was a great interview. Who made a... Justin Kaufman had a great interview yesterday from one of the guys that made Super Trooper, the Lizard. I don't know the name of the group, but they were saying they really became popular because even though their movies didn't do well in the theaters, they killed it with DVD sales, which now is hard because nobody buys DVDs anymore.
Broken Lizard, the comedy troupe?
Broken Lizard, yes.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was a really great interview.
It's also because going to the theater is insane now. It's like $13 for a ticket. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, we went to go see a film, and it was the Barco Lounger experience.
Did you go to the AMC Block 37?
Yeah, yes.
Wasn't that great, though?
I have to admit I didn't care for it.
Okay. Turn his microphone off, Craig. Quick.
Yeah.
Turn his mic off.
Everyone else does.
Scott, you loved it.
I'm sorry. No, I can't hear you, Scott. I'm so sorry.
That was great. And Nikki, of course, has seen, by the way, Nikki, of course, has seen The Notebook.
Nikki, have you seen
it? I did not like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've never seen The Notebook.
Really?
I don't even have a notebook.
Not Ryan Gosling.
No.
I don't get the Ryan Gosling.
Nikki, do you go to films? I mean, do you actually go to movie theaters? Have you?
I do. I don't know. Wait, the last movie that I saw was the new Mad Max movie, which is really cool to see in the theater.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Mm.
I believe we're going to talk to Representative Sarah Feigenholtz after the 1 o'clock. But she wants to know what subject.
Probably films. Politics.
Politics or movies. Or movies. We can talk about politics. Okay. Let me let her know. Hold on a second. Politics or movies.
Hi, Sarah.
Don't worry.
Let's see. Yeah, we can. It's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah, really, Sarah, anything you want to talk about?
Give us another movie.
Can you ask if she's seen Dude, Where's My Car? I'm really curious.
Has anyone seen that besides you?
40, 80.
No,
I've never seen that either.
It's awful.
40, 80, North Broadway. Mm-hmm. That's where the car is.
It's really, yeah.
Did you see what he did there?
Thank you for all the help.
Oh.
And then
what?
And then?
What are the movies? Give us another one.
Another super classic movie. You've probably seen Everything by Pixar, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything?
Good job.
Maybe, I'm not probably up to date.
Have you seen A Bug's Life?
Of course.
Okay, that's a good one.
Was Sylvester Stallone in that one?
No.
That's Ant. What's the Ant movie?
That's called Ants.
Yes, okay. I haven't seen that one.
That's not Pixar.
Bugs Life is.
Oh, Pixar films are amazing. Mm-hmm. You should watch every single one of them.
I haven't seen the last. I haven't seen...
Did you just, was that out of
he
rage?
He just broke his glass.
Broke the glass, yeah.
I would drink that quickly then. Yeah. If you're gonna... No.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. I have not seen, I saw Up. What was the one with the robot?
Wally.
Why
do you say it that way?
Because that's how they say it in the movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know if you saw it.
See, I'm laughing now because I get it.
Yeah, see?
I wasn't laughing before,
picture.
But I'm laughing now.
Nice. Zuzu's petals. Zuzu's petals.
Nothing? Zuzu's petals?
Nothing.
No, nothing.
Hey, Bert, yeah. My lip's bleeding, Bert. I'm just going to start quoting stuff randomly.
Merry Christmas, you savings alone. It's all from the same movie, Nikki. It's all the
Does
same
it have to
movie.
Be the same film? Because
no, if you have another one you want to yell at.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Potter's Field.
You just yell everything out.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Nikki, raise your hand every time you know
Scarlet,
what the movie is.
Are you listening to this?
Would you like me to tell you the story of a little left hand or right hand?
Uh-huh. Top of the world, Ma!
Edward G. Robinson. God,
someone quote Titanic.
Like
someone quote Titanic.
I'm sorry, stop.
No, Edward G. Robinson? Or, yeah.
No.
No, that's... Is the, no, it's not. You're not. It's not.
Get out of the studio. Just get out.
Oh, no.
Just get out.
Scott.
That's Jimmy Cagney
Jimmy
in
Cagney,
White Heat.
Yes, I'm
Take
sorry,
your Crawford yeah. jersey off, too, as you walk out of the studio, please.
I'm sorry.
Put it on the table.
I suck.
No, it's one of those things where anybody, anytime someone thinks it's a Edward G. Robinson, it turns to be Jimmy Cagney. Makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. And on the line with us, Sarah Feigenholtz, Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, joins us, one of our new favorite guests here. She can't join us tomorrow. We were hoping you were going to be in studio with Leader Lou. It was going to be a party. We were going to throw a party for you, Sarah.
Is you actually there physically?
I'm here physically. That's why we were going to have you in studio tomorrow
because
I was going to be here. Yes, Sarah was on the Representative Sarah was on our show a few weeks ago, and I was in LA, so we had to sort of do it by the same way Scott's familiar with the setup.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you are out of state in Nevada, and so
are you caucusing? Why is she in Nevada?
Yeah, well, she's on other business. But what were your thoughts during the Nevada caucus this week?
Well, it's funny because I got here the evening of the Democratic caucuses, and of course, last night everybody knows that the Republican caucuses were occurring.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a really fascinating experience to be in a state like this, so very different from Illinois from so many perspectives. So, of course, Donald Trump prevailed last night, which always is a phenomenon and fascinating to me.
Well, I kind of think we've moved past fascinating and phenomenon to holy crap, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, that's
a little bit. Are you a little bit there, Sarah?
I am. You're my straight person because you can say it. I mean, I continue. My first few go rounds with Donald Trump were pure entertainment, Patty, and now. It's exactly what you said. It's like, what? Is this guy real? So it has been an amazing, it's been an amazing time just to watch the brawling between he and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And of course, from a Democratic perspective, the one candidate that speaks to me more than any of them in the field is the one with the worst numbers, John Kasich from Ohio.
I agree. He was the one that I thought seemed the most reasonable until this week when he signed the circumventing of funding, federal funding to Planned Parenthood. And Scott nods and points at me because I am very passionate about Planned Parenthood.
Well, didn't he say something stupid in the last 24 hours? I mean, like genuinely, like about women.
He was yelling at a reporter who asked him a question about funding for Planned Parenthood. He's like, give me a break. They can go somewhere else, was basically what he said. He said, give me a break. Don't start down this route. He was saying all kinds of things. We do great health care in Ohio. And there's no doubt that there are great health care providers everywhere in this country. But the fact is that Planned Parenthood for decades has been someplace women can go and feel safe and cared for. Would you agree, Representative Sarah?
For so many women, Planned Parenthood is the only place to go to get a mammogram.
Hold on. This is where we get into trouble because they don't do. This is where they were testifying. They refer. They make references. They will refer you for a mammogram. They do breast cancer screening.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but they do annual pelvic exams and
yes.
Pap smear. You know, pap smears. You remember pap smears where there was a law. The fire marshal wanted to do pap smears.
No.
Remember.
No, I'm sorry. What?
It's on your podcast, Patty. It's a long story.
I don't remember the fire marshals wanting to do pap smears.
Anyway.
Okay. Yes.
But again, back to Planned Parenthood. It is a point of access for so many women in our lives, yours, your life, and my life, where women can get. That's their front door to health care. That's where they go. And to diminish or reduce services for these crucial services is ridiculous.
Have you encountered any legislators in Illinois who endeavor to do the same with Planned Parenthood to cut off federal funding?
Well, you know, there are a lot of legislators who recently have kind of caught that wave where they want to be like Ted Cruz, they want to be like Marco Rubio, they want to be like Donald Trump, and they just kind of want to ride that wave. So we do see, although, you know, it's certainly a smaller scale, there are some legislators who come up with fascinating legislation that just kind of boggles the mind and you scratch your head.
Well, and there is one.
This is a softball I've thrown you.
Well, and that's the thing. There is legislation, and I can pull it up. There's legislation that's being introduced, and it's starting to go viral. People that I know are starting to post it all over Facebook and other parts of the country. There's a bill being introduced by two legislators who want to require that a woman who has had a baby name the father. So there are instances where single moms, for whatever reason, don't want to name the father, and you have these moms have 30 days to provide either the father's name
or what they were, or they take the baby.
They do not issue a birth certificate. They will not issue a birth certificate.
The baby is. Oh dear Lord. I'm sorry. You know, you and I are weird on this issue, but I'm not weird, but we disagree. But that's dumb. The father should have some responsibility. He should have some financial responsibility, certainly, for this child.
And this goes back, Representative Feigenholz, to the, I believe, in part to the speech that Representative Ives gave when it came to child care and reducing funding for that, when she said some of these mamas can't even name their baby daddies. Would that be an accurate description of what she was trying to propose, that we shouldn't fund it because some of these women don't know the fathers? I think we've lost. Well, I'm sorry. What was that?
I'm here, Patty. I'm just sort of in shock.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm trying to breathe. I'm breathing through this. And we have some, like I said, we have some really interesting new legislators from the more conservative wing of the Republican Party who wake up frothing about something that
I like the idea of legislators frothing.
It's hardly grounded in anyone's reality. And, you know, you can kind of walk them through it and they blink a lot, but, you know, they're pretty steadfast.
Come on, admit it, Scott. You're getting a little bit of a crush on Representative Sarah.
A little bit. I do want to throw out real quick. John Kasich did say in the last few days, he said that women left their kitchens to support him. I'm not making this up.
Okay. Again, Representative Sarah Feigenholz has been rendered speechless.
Is she still? Are you blinking now, Representative?
Let me do this.
It's tilting.
Here, let me give you the names of the representatives in Illinois. Go ahead. Yes.
And I'm waiting for the dog whistle. I'm waiting to hear the dog.
Here, your representatives, John D. Cavaletto of Salem and Representative Keith Wheeler, who represents the western suburbs. Here's a snippet from their legislation. It provides that if the unmarried mother cannot or refuses to name the child's father, either a father must be conclusively established by DNA evidence or within 30 days after birth, another family member who will financially provide for the child must be named in court on the birth certificate. Provides that absent DNA evidence or a family member's name, a birth certificate will not be issued, and the mother will be ineligible for financial aid from the state for support of the child.
And then 45 years later, they run for president, and they won't be able
so
to
that's,
supply.
That's a little bit from House Bill 60.
Will they appoint a father?
64. I mean, yes, there you go.
Craig, you are now the father.
So,
congratulations.
Yes. I have to say that I have gotten a significant number of calls about this legislation. But as you know, I was adopted. And as you know, I passed a law about adoptees getting their birth certificates. So, of course, people, and I chair the Adoption Reform Committee. So people will call me up and say, stop, we think this is a little crazy. How about you?
Really?
And I tilt my head and wait for the dog whistle. And, but it's just saying that I have gotten emails from all over the world about this legislation.
Saying, which way? Now, I'll tell you something. I have two cousins who were adopted, and they just recently, within the last few years, found their birth parents. I mean, I'm assuming you give the kid up for adoption for a myriad of reasons, and you may or may not want your name known. Now, is it fair to say that you should get the birth certificate, which will have the name of your mother, the birth mother, of course, and probably the biological father? Does that kind of fly in the face of the anonymity that these people may want to maintain?
Yeah. What do you think, Rep. Sarah?
I mean, the truth is that there could be extenuating circumstances that a woman may not want to put a birth father's name on a birth certificate.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think that's insane. But please, go on. I'm sorry.
I mean, one could be that she was raped by a relative. Mm-hmm. And that's her choice. The other could be that, you know, she may not know. And I mean, there's so many reasons, but I try and think about this scenario in my life and circumstances of my conception and birth. And, you know, for all of those people who are uber conservatives who think this is a good idea, they really ought to think about how much this bill would cause women to run to have abortions.
That's the confounding part of this. Is this seems completely to fly in the face of, you know, the encouragement to have a child, to feel safe, to, you know, feel like I have a way out of this without having to include somebody who perhaps is a negative impact in my life.
No, I agree with that. I do.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm asking, Representative, is your bill about having birth certificates available to adoptive people and going back to the idea that perhaps the mother and the biological father want to stay anonymous. Does that fly in the face of that, do you think, a little bit?
Good question.
Well, I mean, it's a very complicated answer.
Right.
And you know, but the fact is that I think the one thing that we all can agree on, if we think it through, is that it's very hard to legislate around these issues because of every single situation is very unique.
Right.
And right.
Better that we don't. Better that we, if we can't write a law that fit people that they were meant to serve, then let's not write one.
Right. If it's not for the improvement of everyone's life, if it seems to be intended, as I think a lot of people are taking this, a lot of single moms who kind of jumped on this post, and actually a mom who's a friend of mine, her child is in Griffin's class, she was one that posted it. She's a single mom who had an extremely contentious relationship with the father of her child, and this really hit close to home for her. A lot of parents are responding that way. There are also men who were very angry at my post. There were two men who in particular and there are people who, I think, to your point about adoption, Representative Feigenholtz, that the standard might be in the best interest of the child. This is from a lawyer, a friend of mine. A child has a right to know his or her parents when the child grows up, and it's in their interest to make it as easy as possible to find lineage. Right. So that would go to, I think, what a lot of people talk about when it comes to adoption. Correct, Representative Sarah?
Right. Well, in Illinois, when you reach the age of 21, you can apply for your original birth certificate like a non-adopted person.
Right.
So yes, I agree with you.
So this comes from a listener, I believe, and also someone on my Facebook page that. So this immediately a lot of men who I think have been at a disadvantage in their custody battles or in, you know, court over a divorce. I was not surprised to see reactions like this. Roughly 14% of dads get anything but non-custodial custody. Here's a thought. Pass a law that says 50-50 shared parenting is the starting point. But that's a completely separate situation. We're talking that's something that happens in the case of a separation and a divorce,
right?
And it's not a birth certificate. I mean, saying that you will deny a birth certificate has nothing to do with 50-50 parenting.
Well, it's also it's just such an extreme penalty for something that is, you know, there may be extenuating circumstances that you and I can't imagine.
Right.
So, I mean, it's preposterous. I understand the
I love that you're angry about this because...
Well, I understand the motivation. Right. I do. That the anger that, you know, the baby papas, you know, inseminate and walk away. And that's the presumption. And in many cases, it's probably true. But in some cases, it's not. So why not give the woman the benefit of the doubt? I applaud the fact that they take the child to term and bring them into this world, and I think that's
interesting. Yeah,
that's a wonderful thing. So but, past that, the baby was born. It's a live birth.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, and I would venture to say that the same legislator who's sponsoring this voted no on monetary award program funding.
Oh no! Are you talking hypocrisy? That can't happen.
And, you know, doesn't think that women who are victims of domestic violence should, you know, or don't attend school because they have a disabled child shouldn't be eligible for state aid or welfare or you know, you know, during welfare reform, this was the big debate that, you know, what a gross insult to women to say that they constantly get pregnant to stay on the dole. It's like, really insulting to women, really insulting to motherhood. And everything, you know, some of these bills that are being filed are knee-jerk reactions that if cooler heads prevailed, I'm convinced that, I'm hoping that these representatives don't move their legislation forward.
Well, we will invite them on the show. I assure you, we will invite them, and we will also invite the candidates that they might be facing in their upcoming elections. Craig, you have a question from a texter or from a caller in regards to this?
Yeah, so Ben called in, and he said there is no birth certificate, but are people forced to get Social Security cards for the kids that can't have birth certificates?
Right. If you don't have a birth certificate, if it is not issued, I mean, how do you have citizenship? How do you, I mean, what is the point of sort of withholding something from a baby? Yeah. Do you know about that, Representative Sarah?
You know, I just think that the authors of these bills, I would imagine, are getting just a few phone calls.
Well, they're going to get a phone call from us, I assure you.
Well, let's be fair. Babies are tricky.
They are. They're very sneaky.
They're very sneaky.
Yes.
Right. And really, and this would really impair the life of that child and stigmatize this child, which is exactly what we have been trying to not do and to give all children opportunities in life that are bestowed upon all of us as Americans, right?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a quandary when you see
quandary,
legislation.
It's preposterous.
It's a quandary in that how do we elect people like this who want to somehow, you know, enact legislation
that's
that seems to fly in the face it's of so many of our ideals.
It's what happens when you have a state that is further south than Kentucky.
Well, and you have to realize that I don't know where Representative Wheeler is from. I do know, I believe that, is it?
The western suburbs is where he is now.
And And I would imagine that he's relatively new and that you know, he's going to, you know, there's a learning curve when you come to the General Assembly.
You're being very gentle.
I know you are being very nice. Apparently, he's just blinking and frothing now and he needs help. he's going to move on to mouth breathing any minute now.
Patty, you have never seen me on the air. I mean, you've never really seen it. You've
okay,
heard it.
So right now, let's figure out a time you can come back. I am so glad that we got you on the air tonight. I know that you're traveling, and we're very sad that we can't. The reason I was like, well, let's have you on the air now, having Leader Lou in studio and having oh, it's a woman?
Barbara Wheeler, is this who
no,
we're
no,
talking
no,
about?
No, it's not Barbara Wheeler.
It's a Republican member of the Illinois, is this?
It's not Barbara Wheeler.
Is it Barbara Wheeler?
No.
Is it Barbara Wheeler? Please tell me it's not Barbara Wheeler.
Keith. It's Keith Wheeler.
Oh, okay. Because my jaw literally dropped.
John Cavalletto. Well, because she's hot.
No, that's not. No.
John Cavalletto and Keith Wheeler are the representatives of Illinois who have introduced this legislation.
His district. Isn't his district really far south?
Cavalletto's is Salem, which is a couple hours outside of St. Louis, and Wheeler's is the I believe the Downers Grove area. Although I think that's also Sandex area, isn't it?
Is that a stronghold of
Republican bastion?
Crazy.
I don't know, Sandex from there. Representative Feigenholtz. I said it. You didn't, Representative Sarah.
No, I think I said it.
Representative Feigenholtz, let us know, what's a website where people can find out more information about you?
StateRepSarah.com.
That's right.
LH and Sarah. Is Sandek a co-sponsor of that bill?
No, but he's from the western suburbs as well. I was making a bat insane joke.
I said bat crap crazy.
I know. I couldn't say bat crap because it doesn't go together. Representative Feigenholtz, we thank you so much for your time. And we're going to figure out a night you can come in the next couple weeks and be in studio. We'll hang out and have some fun.
I would love it.
Thanks. Wonderful. So safe travels. Thanks. Thank you for your time. Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We were talking earlier with Representative Sarah Feigenholtz about some legislation that has been introduced. It's only in committee, so it's not the kind of thing that has even been sort of bopped around very much. It hasn't been put up to a bigger, wider discussion in Springfield. There's so much more that they need to be doing. But the gist of it is that a woman who has had birth needs to provide the name of the father. And in some cases, they do not, for whatever reason, whether their pregnancy was the result of, you know, a rape, incest, perhaps they are in a relationship where they feel their lives are in danger, or they're, you know, very, quite frankly, there's a lot of reasons that we can't speculate about. Here's the snippet from the legislation. It provides that if the unmarried mother cannot or refuses to name the child's father, either a father must be conclusively established by DNA evidence. By the way, who pays for that?
And where do you find it? I mean, not a DNA bank, people. Yet.
Right. Do you round up men that you think are in her life? I'm not sure what the...
No, I want the government to have my DNA information.
Yes, of course. Or within 30 days after birth, another family member who will financially provide for the child must be named in court on the birth certificate. Provides that absent DNA evidence or a family member's name, a birth certificate will not be issued. And the mother will not be eligible for financial aid from the state for child support.
Such.
So we were saying that a lot of fathers have reached out to me and said that fathers' rights in the state of Illinois are significantly reduced compared to what women experience when it comes to a custody battle. And we are not negating that. That is completely separate from this situation. Polly wanted to join the conversation about fathers' rights. Hey, Polly.
Hey, how you doing, Patty?
Very good. Thank you. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you, specifically, my son was taken away from me and moved down to Arkansas 2 months before he was born.
Okay.
The state of Arkansas declared that, you know, they could not move my son back up here once I went to court, you know, for it. And the judge said, like, he wanted to send my son back home with me. He told me.
Right. You know, his hands were tied considering what they're, go ahead. You tell me, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm sorry, Patty, but my father always told me my entire life, I'm 40 years old, always told me there's always the exception to the case.
Exactly. You know? I agree.
So, but sometimes it's not right. And I do not believe that a mother should just have to, I mean, especially when it comes to rape, and I don't even want to talk about that, but when it comes to a father trying to be a father, I believe that it should be put on the birth certificate.
Did she not put you on the birth certificate?
No, it did not have.
Ugh, that is going to be so frustrating.
I had to pay for that.
How did you have to pay for that? I mean, like, so when she was, you weren't informed of when she went into labor. Did you even know that she was going to be moving?
No. I did not know. Like, I knew she was pregnant. She was here, you know, we bought a new home, and, you know, she was here for 7 months, mm-hmm. and then left. We got in an argument. She left. Next thing you know, 2 months later, I know she's in Arkansas. My son's born.
How old is your son now?
He's 4 now.
And do you have the opportunity to spend time with him? Do you have any paternity rights?
I took her to court. I went to Arkansas, uh-huh. and I fought. And I'll even name him. I don't care. His name is Judge Scott out of Bentonville, Arkansas. Uh-huh. And he had my back completely. You know, he wanted to send my son home back with me, but he couldn't.
Why not?
And because she's, you know, she said that she cheated, and that was it. You know, she cheated on me, left the state, didn't know it was my kid, and, you know, I understand it, I get the system, but I don't, like, I always think that it's against fathers, and I listen to you guys all the time, uh-huh. you know. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. Noah, it's not okay that you were denied.
It's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
No, Polly, listen, I have a friend of mine who just, in fact, I performed their wedding. I officiated over it. And the woman who married my friend was had a troubled background, but that seemed to be behind her. Mm-hmm. Apparently it wasn't, but she brought a child into the wedding. He adopted the kid, and they've since divorced, sadly.
Right.
But he is that kid's dad. I mean,
right.
Full-time, full-on, no doubt about it. You know, it takes a lot more to be a dad than the fact that you donated the sperm. So regardless of what your ex-wife did, you want to be a father to this child. The world is full of ugliness and badness and anger and horribleness. And the fact that someone wants to step forward mm-hmm. and be a father and deny you that right because the law is structured in a way that makes absolutely no sense. Polly, I am so sorry.
Exactly.
Oh, no, and that's exactly my point. Like, there's always the exception to the case.
Right.
You know, and that's all I just want people to understand is, like, there are dads out here that do care.
I agree. Yeah. And it's just weird that, you know, it just comes down to an argument, and the mom just, it's out of resentment, wants to withhold, you know, fatherly rights. You know, I'm in. On the other hand,
the judge down there. I'm sorry, Patty, to interrupt you, but he, right in the court, he snapped his fingers and he was ready. He wanted to throw her out. You know,
because he was frustrated with her.
Yeah, like there's nothing I could do. I've got my rights. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do plan on moving down there.
So, Polly, let me interrupt real quick.
We can go through all that. But, you know, long story short is I love my son, and I know there's a lot of fathers out there that love their sons. And there's a lot of mothers that love their sons.
I think, can we say that there's no way to legislate logic and reasoning when it comes to a falling out with a couple,
no,
right?
No, of course not.
And the other thing is, I mean, there's biologically, there is some madness during a pregnancy. So legislation in this situation just seems unfortunate. And it doesn't seem fair that Polly was, you know, was restricted from being able to have access to his son and from being on the birth certificate.
No, it's nuts. And here's the thing. Is your life, I mean, whose life has, you know what? I have too much love in my life.
Right.
What judge is going to sit there and say, you know what?
Frustrating.
You've got enough love. I think we can put a cap on it.
Well, Polly, we wish you the best of luck.
I have great support from everybody that I've, you know, been through and everything. And me and her are actually, like, well, we work through things a little bit more now that the courts have done that through Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But it's just not right, though.
No, it's not right.
It's not right. And in fact, the friend I mentioned earlier has posted a number of times because they say it takes a mother to be a special friend to their child or whatever it is. No, it can take whoever it takes.
Exactly. And I thank you so much for your call, Polly. And we look forward to hearing from you again. I don't know what you do in the case of forcing moms, though. This seems like a lose-lose all around. I just don't think legislating and forcing women.
No, it's crazy. No, you and I are on the same page. How many times have we said that?
I know. It's so crazy that Polly was, again, withheld from his rights.
And that, but like you guys are saying, that's not actually the exact conversation the legislation is trying to fix.
Not.
That's not the scenario that they're focused
on. The language they're using.
They're actually taking away support for a child, regardless of what's going on with the father, if one just can't be loved. That's not giving fathers rights necessarily. It's actually harming the kids.
And it's a birth certificate. Could you imagine for a moment?
Yeah.
Let's fast forward 18 years, and this kid doesn't have a birth certificate? I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, what's the outcome? What's the intended outcome?
That's nuts. I'm sorry. I kind of understand why.
Yeah, how much do you think it's really? Is the why because they're running for re-election and they want to show their constituents that they are being very hard when it comes to providing?
Oh, we're
going to
get those deadbeat dads by gum, and if they don't pony up
and the slutty
gum,
moms,
we're going to saddle this kid with a disability that's going to follow them for the rest of their natural born lives.
And not getting any state aid is a huge deal because some of these kids might actually grow up in a much worse situation than the state aid would provide. It just makes no sense. It's, again, helping to stabilize the budget by hurting people that are
victims.
Well,
but to be fair, we're not paying our bills at all.
Yeah, I know.
So it's okay.
But why would we penalize babies? Why would we penalize special needs people? Why are those the targets right now?
Well, because Craig, everyone has to sacrifice.
Yeah.
By everyone.
Horse feathers.
We mean babies and those with special
needs.
No, because
that
they have no advocates.
Representative Sullivan told me last year when all of this started happening that we all need to sacrifice. But really, in reality, in truth, it has been predominantly special needs, veterans, the elderly, infants.
The people who don't have PACs who give $1 billion, and that's
number. And yet we did pass legislation that you could hunt bobcats. So that happened.
And if some of these parents don't even care, how is it the fault of the kid who, like Scott just said, when you get to be 18 years old, how is it your fault that you don't know who your dad is? And that's why you don't have a birth certificate.
Oh, it's so bizarre. So many other things going on.
Welcome to Illinois.
Well, welcome to the United States pretty soon. That's what I was telling somebody. They were complaining on Facebook about how Illinois seems all crazy. No. It's coming all, y'all. Just you wait. Because the exact same
reason. We're trailblazers?
We are trailblazers. Well, because we want to change. And how bad could it get? It's just one guy. He runs a business really well. It's time to change things up. And we don't want career politicians. Welcome to the state of Illinois, America. Okay, I'm letting you two off the hook because I was just having a little too much fun there. Esmeralda's kind of casual. She's like, she's chill. She's chill.
I sing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
We're turning your mic
on. I'm
learning
the words.
Oh.
But they keep adding more to
the words.
It's been a while since I have thanked Jason Skaggs, and it's going to be a while longer. So, Esmeralda, every time there's a PSA that runs, we have some time that we I had to record something, and Jason Skaggs and I had gone over the script over and over again, and there was something we needed to re-record, and he eluded me when I was trying to get that done. On the day that there was a huge windstorm, I had gone to visit some folks at the BFF Family Services, a wonderful facility. It's a school and a program for individuals who live in the North Lawndale area, which, as you know, it has a lot of economic problems, a lot of violence. And they told me, remember that big windstorm last week?
Sure.
How can you forget? And they told me that I was on the one kind of block that was neutral territory between gangland, between the vice lords on one side and a gang that they couldn't remember on the other side, but they generally don't shoot at this particular block. And I was, and they said, just take care as you leave. And as I left, every stoplight, every traffic light between that place
was red.
Was out.
Oh,
so it was stop and go. I'm like, I'm sure this is fine. And it's one of those things that reminds you how much easier our lives are because we don't live in a neighborhood where you're like, is this a block where there's going to be a stray bullet? Is this a block where there might be a stray bullet? I mean, could you be shot anywhere in Chicago? Absolutely. But when you are told that you are in gangland territory and just this block is the neutral area, and then you are just stopped in complete traffic, it reminds you that we really have it so much easier than so many people in our very own city.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Jason Skaggs wasn't here when I got here. I asked him to wait for me. He did not because it was Friday. He has someplace to go. He had things to do. Go ahead and send it to Jason with my thank you and
sure.
regards.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Audio is being cut. Did you guys see the crushed Jeep?
He's like, can we move on?
No, did you guys see the crushed Jeep from the windstorm? The Jeep that was parked on the street? This building that's under construction, the wall came down.
Oh, goodness.
And it smashed a Jeep, and it literally looks completely flat now.
From Friday's windstorm?
Yeah, it pushed this. I don't know who would pay for
this. It's always the Jeeps that suffer.
Yeah, it is. It is always the Jeeps. And I'm sure they had a death wobble before this got crushed. So.
Yes, Craig has a death wobble on his Jeep.
I do, Scott. Do you know what that is?
No, tell me, please.
It is really scary. Every once in a while while driving 55 or faster, if I hit a bump wrong, my car will just shake uncontrollably until I slow down.
Well, have you taken that to Warren? Because
yeah, Warren's looked at it. That's a tough one to fix. But
no,
he's
that sounds
fixed
like
a lot of the other
like,
stuff.
Your tires aren't balanced.
No. You would think that. You would think several
things.
It's
inherent in the Jeep Cherokees.
Some Jeep Cherokees from the 90s have this issue.
Have a death wobble.
That's what they call it.
A death rattle, as it were.
It's a death wobble, and it feels like death.
Feels like death.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's petrifying, yeah.
Oh, it sounds terrible.
I had one the other day coming back from South Bend when I went to go to the zombie party for my nephew.
Yes, how did that end up going for you?
A zombie party?
This is correct.
Was it Dr. Collins?
I was Dr. Collins for the zombie party. My nephew, his name is Landon. He turned 8, and he had his friends over for what they called like a Landon Z party, which apparently meant you bring your Nerf gun and you learn how to shoot zombies.
So, and how do you kill a zombie with a Nerf gun?
Well,
mostly
so
in the face and head?
Unfortunately, since Dr. Collins had been kidnapped by the zombies and was like missing, and that was the big plot to figure out, I did not witness the training. But there was training beforehand on how to defeat a zombie, and then the big plot twist at the end is I had been turned into a zombie, and you had to save me by shooting me a lot with darts.
There you go.
And then I got some sort of, I got some sort of antivirus eventually. It was amazing.
You were cured of your zombiness?
Landon jumped in at the end and gave me the antivirus.
Wait, how old is your nephew?
He's 8.
And he can understand this complex.
Oh, the party was super intricate. Not only did they have planning beforehand and then they had like this whole training, they had to figure out clues and stuff to eventually find out that I was in the basement. And then when we got down to the basement, the lights were off. They had put up a bunch of like black light stuff, and then everything was glowing because they had, I don't know, some sort of spray paint situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is detailed.
I know.
For
I felt like I was.
Party.
Yeah, it was amazing.
My parents got me like half a cake and invited like 2 friends.
You had friends?
No.
I'm kidding.
My sister in law goes all out with you.
My mom says, I gave you a party, remember? I had a Halloween party 1 year, and we took all my friends to this haunted house. And when we got there, it was, you could see like where people were leaving the haunted house, and it was the strobe lights, and a guy with a chainsaw was chasing people out. I could not go into the haunted house at my party. I was too scared.
Oh.
I know. I don't, chainsaws are not haunted house stuff.
It's not a real chainsaw.
I was 9.
It doesn't have the little things in it.
I was 9. I was not quite as progressive as Landon. I did not have the antidote for don't hit me.
Yeah,
with
he had the
antivirus.
That was really lucky.
Because
otherwise,
me
I was going to be a zombie forever. So,
well, thank God, we're glad to have you back.
By the way, you know a movie I was watching last night? I couldn't stop.
Was it porn?
Well, after that,
wow,
it was The Exorcist. The Exorcist. The
Does
original.
It hold up?
It absolutely holds up. But you forget how much talking there is in that movie.
Really?
I mean, which is fine. There's a lot of talking.
Because we remember a lot of vomiting and spinning of heads.
That's what it seems like. But they're, you know, the mom, like, she goes to the hospital and she's got a panel of all the doctors and the experts trying to figure out what's wrong with her daughter. She's talking to the priest. There's a lot of talking.
God, I don't remember that.
Well, it's all very kind of slow and it draws out. And then, it, you know, it certainly builds. But yeah, it was interesting to watch all the talking.
That's awesome.
It's cool.
No, I actually.
What movies don't hold up for you? Would you say you have one?
Oh gosh, you do this to me every
show. Okay, well, we'll
think
of it for next
time of night.
312-981-7200. Movies that don't hold up.
Isn't The Exorcist getting a remake too? Isn't that happening?
I think come on.
No,
really?
I think it's a series. I think they're doing an Exorcist series. Is that right? Or is it a movie? Or is it just a movie?
No, I'm trying to figure this
out.
The
book scared the hell out of me.
The book is, well, and the book and the movie, I believe, had the scene where she does something with a crucifix, which you should not want to film.
Yeah, right.
She violates herself with the crucifix. Was that in the film, too?
Kind of.
I think they edited it around that.
Well, yeah, you see her from the, like, mid-chest.
For me, yes.
FYI, they're filming the pilot here in Chicago, and they need extras.
It is a series, yes.
They need extras?
Yeah.
So here's a call for extras, folks. If you like crucifixes and, you know.
True, it's on the Fox. The Fox Network.
The Fox.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
By the way, we never got to any of your work, Scott. Yes. Let's go to the most recent with the iPhone and privacy.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm a big... I happen to believe that privacy is, well, let's say private. And I don't trust the government. And, you know, a story today that was broken by USA Today and one of their other newspapers that the DEA, the Drug Administration was...
Drug Enforcement.
Drug Enforcement Administration had to be reined back because they were tapping tens of thousands of phones.
Do you know who covers this as a storyline?
Hmm.
The Good Wife.
Really?
So much of what I know about politics and privacy comes from The Good Wife, which is in its last season.
I'm sorry.
But Juliana Margulies plays a lawyer who the people who are spying on us are able to turn phones into microphones.
Yes.
And and they cover that. Well, I do.
They
you know how I know that? Craig, how do I know that?
Because of The Good Wife? Because of The Good Wife?
I know all these things because of...
They can turn on your camera.
Okay, I should probably stop doing that.
Wouldn't the light turn on?
No,
they can turn it on without the light on.
They turn
it
into a microphone.
Mm-hmm. So as you're watching kitty videos, you know.
On your phone?
Yes.
The good news is most of what I say is actually on the air for everyone to hear. So
they can also turn your phone into a weapon.
Ooh.
No, I don't know about that.
You throw it at people.
Right.
It's a projectile.
The privacy issue, that is the issue for the 21st century, and we're struggling with it, and Americans seem to be
whatever,
give it away. Yeah. Sure, I don't care. Know everything about
it. If I was doing something wrong, I would be worried, but I'm
Everyone
not.
Does something wrong on their phone.
Do they?
Something that would probably embarrass them.
Oh, you're probably right. Hold on, let me delete some stuff here. Apparently, I was listening to Hotline Bling by Drake. So, yes, I apparently do things that are
And
wrong.
There's a video of that somewhere. That some guy in a basement
I
is
do
watching
wanna,
right now.
I want to thank a couple of our listeners who have chimed in on our Facebook page. Go to Patty V Show on Facebook and like us. And we are almost at 3,600. So we've passed 3,500. We are closing into our goal of 30,000. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we're not.